Welcome to the presentation of a lecture from Gnostic Radio, a free public service from Telema Press. Gnostic Radio broadcasts free lectures from the Gnostic tradition of Samael on Vior. Each lecture explores another aspect of this timeless and sacred knowledge. Many of these lectures are supported by additional materials available on our website. Each Saturday, Gnostic Radio broadcasts live. The live lecture is accompanied by an anonymous chat session, allowing listeners to read additional explanations related to the lecture and providing an opportunity to ask questions of the speaker. All of the efforts of Telema Press, including this lecture, are made possible by the financial support of listeners like you. Help us to help humanity by making a donation. Telema Press is a non-profit corporation. Donations are tax deductible. For more information, visit our website at GnosticTeachings.org. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of suffering for all creatures, we begin the lecture. May all beings be happy.
Today, we are going to dive within the great ocean of the sign of Pisces. A beautiful sign ruled by Neptune and Jupiter. Pisces is symbolized by two fish united by a hyphen. Within the hands of Neptune this is a very profound symbol related with the monad. We have here to explain about the monad in order for us to understand our situation, or as we say in Gnosticism, our level of being. Because the monad is the being. We always state that the reason for the being to be is to be the being itself. All of us are part of a monad. A word rooted in the Greek language, which means unity, monas. The individuality within the spirit. This is what we call the innermost. And these two fish that we see in the hands of Neptune, here we are pointing at the graphic of Pisces painted by Joffre, a great painter. If you find his 12 zodiacal signs, they enclose a lot of wisdom. So Pisces here, you find the god Neptune having in his hands the two fish, which are the symbol of the two souls that the monad has. The spirit, the being, the monad, has two souls. One divine and the other human. And this is very important to know, because the spirit is one thing and the soul is another. People many times mistake the spirit with the soul. But we have to explain here that the spirit is, and a soul is acquired. We have to explain in detail, so please use your imagination, which between parentheses is a faculty related to Neptune. The imagination is the same clairvoyance. And the faculty of clairvoyance related with Neptune is called intuitive clairvoyance, which is different. When you use, for instance, your third eye, located between your eyebrows, it is called a power related with the pituitary gland, clairvoyance, also named the eye of Shiva. But really, the clairvoyant eye related with the pituitary gland is nothing but the page of the light of the pineal gland. These two glands, pineal and pituitary glands, are located in the middle of the brain. The pineal gland is a little bit ahead of the pineal gland. If you introduce a needle between your ears, from ear to ear, and another in your the middle of your eyebrows, exactly when their needles are crossing inside your brain, is where the pineal gland is situated. And the pituitary gland is ahead. The pineal gland is called the cyclop eye. If you remember in mythology, it is stated that the cyclops were children of Neptune. This is very significant and profound. This symbolizes that all of those that developed this clairvoyant intuitive eye, it is because they work with the forces of Neptune. The pineal gland is directly related with the development of the sexual glands. And remember that we always state that in the sexual glands we have the entity of semen, the ens seminis, which in alchemy and in Kabbalah, it is always related with the waters of Genesis. A word which means creation. From that comes also another word, genes. So, in the sexual organs, we have that water of Genesis, within which the fish swim, which are, of course, the sperms or ovums, the woman. But all of this development of sperms and ovums in the ovaries or in the testicles of both sexes is done thanks to the influence of the pineal gland. That's why it is good to know that, for instance, those contraceptives that are made for men and women are created in order to stop the pineal gland to command the sexual organs to create ovums or sperms. But in this case, the woman that takes contraceptives is, of course, interfering in the actions of the pineal gland in order for the pineal gland not to command the ovaries to release ovums. So you see here how in endocrinology we see the reaction and the work of the pineal gland in relation with the sex. This is known, of course, in esotericism by ancient colleges. In ancient colleges, they taught this, and they knew about the relationship of Neptune, because Neptune rules the pineal gland, and how with the development of this pineal gland, we developed that intuitive vision. But this intuitive vision, or power of the pineal gland, is only possible if we transform or transmute the sexual energy. That is, of course, the key or the clue of this development, in order for us to see the ultra, that is the intuitive vision. And the Cyclops are, of course, a symbol of this humanity that existed in the past that had that power. We said in other lectures that in the times of yore, humanity still was not developed, the physical side, as we see right now. At that time, the intuitive eye related with the pineal gland was more developed. So therefore, humanity was more in contact with the internal worlds than with the exterior, which is the physical world. Here we have to state the relationship of that inner vision with what in Egypt was called the Amenti. You read in many books about the Egyptian Amenti, which was ruled, of course, by Hades, but also because they were in contact with the wisdom of Neptune. That's why the Egyptians call this science Neptunian Amentinian science, in relation with that vision in which the initiates were entering into their own psyche in order to fight and to acquire the development of their own psychic powers, their own spirituality. This is how the spirit was acquiring what we call mastery, initiation, soul, consciousness. Remember that we stated that the spirit is, and the consciousness is acquired, but we had to know how. Egyptians knew very well about this topic that we are teaching here. And that's why we find in the Egyptian pantheon many symbols related with the Egyptian Amenti, which most of people relate with the forces of death, or the mysteries of death, because are beyond the physical world. But we have to clarify this in order for us to comprehend the Egyptian mysteries and the great symbols of that civilization. Because remember that Solon, the great ruler of Greece, brought this knowledge into Greece. And there is where the Greeks founded the mysteries of Eleusis, the Eleusinian mysteries, the mysteries of Orpheus, related with the descension into the Amenti, which they call Hades. And Moses also brought the knowledge of Egypt and distributed in the Kabbalistic way, as we find in the Bible. And many other great masters that existed in the past learn about this knowledge of Egypt, that ancient Egypt that now you only see symbols in the physical world, which are already worn by time, like the Sphinx, for instance, which is a great symbol of that science of the Egyptian Amenti, the Neptunian civilization, which comes, of course, back in time from the Atlantean civilization, which is related, of course, with the forces of Pisces, with the waters. A beautiful symbol. The Atlantean civilization, a word that now we use it, existed, of course, in the Atlantean Ocean. The word Atlantean or Atlantis is a word that is rooted in the Nahua, ancient language, which is still is spoken in Mexico among the natives. That was spoken in Atlantis. Atl means water in that language. The Watan is called language. And from that atl come the word Atlantis and Atlantic Ocean, related with the waters. So in Atlantis, they knew very deep the knowledge of Neptune, or the Neptunian, Amentian science that here we are going to explain, or we are explaining. The Neptunian forces are related with the superior part of the moon, meaning that beyond the moon we find the forces of Neptune, because Neptune rules the ocean as well as the moon. When we were studying Kabbalah, we explained many times how the Sephirah Yesod is ruled by the moon, and how Yesod is in relation with the Tatwa Akash, which is related with the Tatwa, or the primordial waters of Genesis, which is called the Anupadaka Tatwa in Sanskrit, or the parentless force, which in Christianity they call it Maria or Mary. Maria is a word that emerges from this symbol that we are talking here. Remember that Mary, Mother Mary in Christianity, it is stated that is the Virgin of the Sea. They call it Stella Maris. Mar or Mare is in relation with the ocean, in Latin. And the other vowels, Ia or Ia, is a derivation of Io, the androgenism So when you said Maria, or even the name Mario, it means, implies the forces of the water, the sea, with the duality of Io. So in this case, Maria, Mary, symbolizes the Anuparaka Tattva, the Mula Prakriti of the Hindus, that substance which is matter itself without form. So that water is precisely what we are talking here, that is beyond the moon, within the fourth dimension. In the fourth dimension, we find that tattva of the water, which is, tattva means vibration of the water. So in that water of the fourth dimension is where we find the origin of this planet Earth, which the Bible states the Spirit of God was moving in the beginning upon the face of the waters. Of course, those waters that Genesis in the Bible talks about are not the waters in this physical world, but that water in the fourth dimension. And that Spirit of God that was moving upon the face of those waters is precisely this symbol. The Bible calls this spirit the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the Gods, or the Spirit of God is translated. Ruach Elohim. You see, here you have to understand the difference between the Ruach Elohim and the Elohim. Because when you read the Bible, it is stated there, in the beginning Elohim created the heaven and the earth. This is one Elohim. And then after that is stated, and the Ruach Elohim was moving upon the face of the waters. That is another element. We had to understand that in order to comprehend this book of alchemy and Kabbalah, which is the beginning of the Bible, whose name, that name is Genesis, because it is a Gnostic book. It's a very profound, symbolic Gnostic book written by Moses, because Moses was a Gnostic. And he learned all of this that he wrote there in Egypt. Because Egypt, I repeat, is a branch of this great civilization that existed in the past, which was the Atlantean civilization. And this Atlantean civilization is a Neptunian civilization, 100%. And the Atlantean civilization was ruled by Neptune, Atl Agua, meaning that the whole root race was within the Apas Tattva, the Tattva of the water. In order for you to understand what I'm going to say, I'm going to explain something. In those hot, very hot days of summer when you are driving on the road, sometimes you see far away on the road, on the pavement, like water. Do you have that experience before? You see like humidity there. But when you arrive at the point when you see that water vibrating in the road or on the road, you don't find water. The same is happening in the wilderness, in the desert. That type of vision or mirage, when you see water, but there is no water. But there is water. In other words, the heat of summer makes the vibration of the fourth dimension that is related with the water to appear in the third dimension as a mirage. I'm talking about the vibration of the tattva, because tattva means vibration of the water. Doesn't mean that in that spot there is water, no. It means that the vibration of the tattva of the water is being shown there at any other place where the heat is very strong. There's a phenomena of the fourth dimension that happens very often in the three-dimensional world. So therefore, understand that tattva was vibrating especially strongly in the Atlantean civilization. Like if you ask me, which is the tattva that now is a predominant tattva in this Aryan root race, we will say is a Prithvi tattva, the tattva of the earth. But in the Atlantean civilization, they were in the Apa tattva, the tattva of the water. It was a transition between the water of the four dimension into the three-dimensional world in which we are right now. That's why life in the Atlantean civilization was not as this life that we are having here, which is more material, more dense. So because Neptune rules the tattva apas, the tattva of the water, in the akasa tattva, was the ruler of Atlantis civilization. Neptune is a cosmo creator. In many lectures we stated that a cosmo creator is a monad, that is the ruler of a planet. Is the center of the life of any cosmic unit, as we have our own particular monad unity within, in order for us to exist. So this ruler, this cosmic creator, Neptune, controls not only the forces of water in the planet Earth, but in this whole solar system. But the forces of that vibration of life that comes from Neptune are controlled and managed in every planet by Jehovah, because Jehovah is the ruler of the moon in any planet. Jehovah controls the positive ray of the moon and the life in the fourth dimension that crystallizes eventually in the third dimension in any planet, not only in the planet Earth. Any moon in the solar system is ruled by Jehovah, which is a great initiate of the past cosmic day, which was the lunar cosmic day. Because at that time, that cosmic day was related with the same vibration that we are talking here, related with the Neptunian forces. So our cosmo creator, he rules that, but always channel that those forces in the physical plane. That's why Neptune is a profound cosmo creator related with the pineal gland that gives us that vision when we know how to develop it. The way in which we work with the forces of Neptune are written very clear, but in symbolical, cabalistical, alchemistical way, in the book of Jonah, in the Bible. And of course, in different parts of the Bible, in other books also, related with the gods of water. Because Neptune, we will say, is the king of all the gods of the water. A ruler. A head. Because they are all the gods of water. Oh, we will say, for your understanding, if you are Christian or Muslim, angels. Because angels, devas, or gods are the same, just names. Those entities which have wisdom, that rule, have force. So in order for us to understand this, it says how the forces of the cosmos, the macrocosmos, interfere in the development of the microcosmos, or the microcosm, which is the human being. So in the time of Egypt, as well in Atlantis, the internal worlds were easy to see because they had the cyclop eye developed. Not like we. Now, we have very well developed the physical sight, but in order for us to understand this, we have to read or to hear lectures, because the pineal gland, the third eye, the cyclop eye, is atrophied in all of us. So we had to develop again, because the physical sight and all the senses of the physical body were developed at the expenses of the powers of the pineal gland and also the powers of the heart. Now we have to return into those times where the cyclop eye was 100% developed. Humanity was in contact with the gods. That's why you find in the ancient tales or legends that you want to say like that, people that talk about elementals, about fairies, about spirits, about the gods. In this day and age, the intellectuals that have completely atrophied the pineal gland, they think that the people of the past were imagining, were thinking and inventing the gods of the past. They don't realize that people of the past were having the pineal gland completely developed, and they were seeing them. As we see here, you see me and I see you. They were not inventing anything. They were in contact with them and with the elementals. So that's why those forces, the elemental forces that existed at that time behind this three-dimensional world, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and beyond, is called Neptunian, Amentinian civilization of forces of the internal worlds, which the Egyptians knew. Because they were in contact with them. They were not so materialistic like us. And of course, all of those monads or forces of the elements related with the Amenti were related with the forces of nature. Whether with the water, with the earth, with the fire, with the air, or in different ways. Usually, these gods or forces of the elements were taking the shape of those creatures, of the air, of those creatures, of the fire, of the earth, of the water. Or just using the head of one of them to point which power they were controlling. And that's why in the Egyptian pantheon, as well as in other pantheons of many civilizations, you find different human beings with different heads of different type of animals related with those forces. And of course, these beings were in relation with psychological forces, spiritual forces, that now we had to recuperate in order to become kings and queens of nature, as it is written in the Bible. Men, or the human being, is a king of nature, meaning that controls the forces of nature. So, in Egypt, they knew that sooner or later, the atoms, or the negative atoms, related with Yesod, related with the ninth sphere in Klipoth, eventually will surface on the physical plane and nullify the spiritual sight. So the initiates were really alarmed, knowing that in the future days, which is really this epoch, humanity will be completely blind in relation with the spirit. And they will even deny the gods. And that's why one of the priests of Zeus in Egypt said to Solon, Solon, he says, there will be the time in the future where humanity will say that we, the Egyptians, were worshipping idols. And they will mock our sacred hieroglyphics. We are in this epoch. Nobody understands the Egyptian civilization. But they think they do. Really is sad. Because still, those temples of mysteries that existed in the Egyptian civilization, in the Atlantean civilization, still exist. Ruled by Neptune, which of course symbolizes in this case the Holy Spirit, the energy that is related with the pineal gland and the sexual organs. So this way, this is written in the book, in the Bible, no fornicator can enter into the mysteries of God, because the Atlantean civilization sank because they broke the laws of Neptune, the Holy Spirit, which are the forces related with the pineal gland, with the psychological eye. So the Egyptians, in order to preserve the atoms, because you know that each one of us has atoms in the physical body related with our own psyche. So the people that have that capacity of seeing the ultra, the internal dimensions, they are imbibed, nourished with the energies of the internal world, the physical body. Because they open the doors of Amenti in order for them to enter and to see that. It's when you go, for instance, to the forest, you are imbibed with the forces of the forest. When you enter into the ocean to take a bath, you are taking the atoms of that water into your body. So in the same way, at that time, in the Egyptian civilization, all the Egyptians and great initiates were having those atoms imbibed with the forces of Neptune. And they knew that they were easy for them to see the internal worlds and the physical world. That type of body is precisely the body of the magicians. The great pharaohs of Egypt were related with it. We're not kings or emperors like in this day and age that only see what is close to their nose. They have the pineal gland developed and can see beyond fourth, fifth, sixth, and even seventh dimension. That's why the initiates were preparing in order to help this future humanity. For that, they were making their mummies. They were protecting those bodies. That was the reason. Because the bodies were preserved with the special elemental forces in order for the atoms to retain those forces, so the soul that eventually will reincarnate in this time, that were related with those mummies of ancient Egypt, will receive the benefit, because the atoms of those mummies still are related with those vibrations of the Neptunian Amentian civilization. So there are many mummies. And not only the Egyptians, but they were expertise in that. That's the reason. In order to help humanity. Of course, archaeologists only find their bodies that are mummified with certain elements, and they don't know why. They invent things, stories, or because they believe that after death, if the mummy, the body is mummified, then they go to this or go to that. Many stories, 100% ignorance. The reason is this. There are many initiates whose bodhisattvas fell in this Kali Yuga, Dark Age, whose physical bodies that they had at that time when they were incarnated in the past in Egypt still exist. It is not rare for initiates that enter into a certain level to discover that they have a mummy in Egypt. There are many. Archaeologists just discovered some of them, but there are many mummies which are waiting there in order for you or for the initiates to reach a certain level in order to get those Neptunian atoms again for their own spiritual development or to remember the past. This is something that when you enter into the studies of Gnosticism and you start developing and enter into the initiation into alchemy and developed your inner psyche and your spirit, and then you start remembering your past lives. Do you remember where you were incarnated? And of course, in order to have the privilege to receive the forces of those atoms of ancient Egypt, or even the Atlantean civilization, you had to gain certain level of development. You had to recuperate what you lost if you are a fallen initiate. But even if you are not, you receive the benefit for those that have those atoms in order to help you, because there are many initiates that in this time are active trying to help humanity. Of course, the fish remind us the primeval Christianity, whose symbol was the fish. It's precisely Jesus of Nazareth, the master Abramento, that brought in the era of Pisces, that started at that time, because he was the avatar of the era of Pisces that started at that time when he appeared, in order to spread the Neptunian forces for this humanity. Unfortunately, there were many individuals, initiates, that betray Gnosticism, that betrayed the Gnosis of Master Jesus at that time. And Christianity developed only agnosticism. It is important to emphasize here these two words, because many people that ignore about the meaning of these two words think that agnostic and gnostic is the same. Gnostic implies somebody that is studying Gnosis and developing knowledge related with the Neptunian Amentian civilization, the development of the spirit. But the vowel A before the word Gnostic or Gnosis means without. So agnostic means somebody that does not have Gnosis, the knowledge, the wisdom inside. So because of the treason that many initiates committed at that time with Jesus, Christianity developed itself in the agnostic way, meaning without Gnosis. And that's why, unfortunately, Christianity developed in the agnostic way, finally fell into Marxism and Leninism. That's the outcome of a religion without Gnosis. Because only they ended worshipping the personality of the Master Jesus and forgot about the doctrine of Master Jesus, which is Gnosis. We have nothing to do with worshipping his personality, because that is 100% ludicrous. To think that because you believe in the personality of Master Jesus, that he is the Son of God, you will go to heaven. That's agnosticism. Only the one that practice the gnosis, the knowledge of Jesus, are the ones that can be saved. And that salvation is practical. Has nothing to do with believing in anything. So that's precisely the Christianity that you find in this day and age. An agnostic Christianity. They think that they are real Christians, but they are agnostics. Because the doctrine of Jesus, I repeat, was betrayed in the beginning. There were only few disciples, Christians, that became really Christians. The millions that exist in this day and age are agnostics. And that's why you know the story or the history about the development of Christianity that ended in this dead sect of Catholicism that is only worshipping what they don't know. But when you develop your pineal gland, whether you develop your internal sight, is how you see what you read. But you have to put in activity those atoms. Because in this day and age, we have a lot of atoms related with klipot, which blindness in relation with the superior part of the tree of life, with those Amentian, Neptunian forces, which are the superior part of the moon. Elements. For instance, this great god called Horus, or Horus, in Egypt. It's a great monad. Master M states that when he gives a ring to any initiate, this initiate becomes a ruler of a great root race. That happened with Moses. Moses was a great Egyptian initiate, as well as Jesus and many other initiates of the past. So here you find, and you have to comprehend, how is that our own particular monad, our own particular innermost, receive those powers. For that we have to understand that Pisces is also ruled by Jupiter. And here is another word. Iopiter. You see, there are many Jupiters in the Greek Roman pantheon. Not only one, many. And it is because it is related with the forces of Christ, which are above. So we have to know what is above is below, and what is below is above. Iopiter. This is written with like this. Iopiter, or Jupiter, which is Iopater. Pater is the sacred name of Peter. Of course, Jupiter is related with the forces of heaven. There is a prayer that Jesus brought that says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Jupiter or Jupiter is a symbol of Christ, the Father of all gods. This Father of all gods, Jupiter, is related with the cosmo-creators. Monads that acquired self-realization in past cosmic days. When somebody reaches the self-realization in the future cosmic day, appears as a cosmo-creator, a vehicle of Christ, a vehicle of the light. Christ is not a person, but an energy. As the electricity is an energy, Christ is an energy. In Kabbalah, that energy is called Ein Sof Or. In its primordial substance, before manifestation. But when that primordial force manifests, that light, and then becomes Keter Chokhmah Bina. Keter Chokhmah Bina in Kabbalah is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But before manifesting as a Holy Trinity, Christ is unity. It's called Ein Sof Or, the limitless light, or the uncreated light that utilizes the sun, S-U-N, as a physical vehicle in order to be the center of any solar system. So any star is a physical body of the Ein Sof Or, which we also call the ray of Okidanok, the omnipenetrating, omniscient light that manifests everywhere. So that light needs channels, forces, in order to distribute energy, life in the universe. So it utilizes the center of any cosmic unit in order to distribute the force in different levels. But the very center of it is always the sun, the star. So if we go into the center of the sun, which is our star in this solar system, not physically, we will say within the Neptunian level, which will be in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th dimension, we will find there the seven spirits before the throne of God, the seven main cosmo-creators related with the law of seven, that organizes this solar system. These great cosmic creators are Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, Michael, Samael, Zahariel, and Orifiel. Those are the highest rank of cosmic creators in this solar system, in the center of the sun, because they manage, they channel the force. And physically, they are centered in different planets. Actually, the book of Pistisophia, written or dictated by the Master Jesus to his disciples, states there that there are 12 saviors. What are these 12 saviors? It's not pointed at any person in itself. We will say there are 12 generators of Christic light that work in any humanity in the solar system in order to help the spirits, the souls. These 12 saviors that the book of Pistisophia talks about are related with the 12th tribe of Israel and with the 12 apostles of Jesus. Symbol. But they exist in relation with the 12 forces of Christ. Of course, the higher rank are 7, which are called the 7 spirits before the throne in the book of Revelation. So the whole of them, if we unite all of those cosmic forces, those generators of cosmic light in one, in this solar system, and if we name them Jupiter, your Jupiter, we won't commit any mistake. Because they are the ones that throw the lightning or the rays of creation, the forces of the cosmos in order to develop in nature and any planet. That's why Jupiter is represented. The god there that rules Olympia or the Olympus and throwing lightnings and thunderbolts. That thunderbolt, that lightning in the hand of Jupiter is the power that these cosmic creators have in order to develop forces in any planet. And that's Jupiter. And the same we can say if we go to other solar system. But these forces of Jupiter, as called Iopiter or Iopater, because when they enter into activity, they do it through the duality. That duality is called father-mother. And that's why it is written that Jupiter always had his wife. And any cosmic creator always has his wife. That is related with a particular ray and development. In the previous lecture on Capricorn, we were talking about Saturn. Well, the wife of Saturn was Rhea. R-H-E-A. Rhea or Rhea. And from the union of these two forces, the gods were born. If we study Kabbalah and alchemy, we will understand the meaning of it. But for instance, Neptune is a great god that is related with all of these that we are talking here. You see in Greek mythology that Neptune is the brother of Jupiter and the brother of Hades or Pluto. There were 3 gods, main gods that distributed the universe. Jupiter above, Neptune in the sea, and Hades in the infernos. But also related, Hades also related with the superior part of the inferior layers of the earth. Because when you go inside the earth, under the surface of the planet, first you find a three-dimensional plane, which is just rocks, magma, and all of that that you find under the surface of the planet Earth, with the scientists that are studying it. But there exists the fourth dimension and other dimensions beneath the layers of the Earth. And that is what is called, in Egyptian terms, the Amenti, the Neptunian forces related with the Akasha Tattva. But if you go in another level, which is the infra dimensions, and then you find hell. So there are two. Hades control the superior dimensions or the inferior dimensions of the earth, and hell, where the lost souls go there to disintegrate. And this is something very important to know in order to comprehend mythology and the way in which many religions are established, because they're related with it. Unfortunately, without the sight of the pineal gland, as we said in the beginning, we have to use our imagination in order to comprehend the little bit of imagination that we have. So, those cosmo-creators, which are called Jupiter or Jupiter, are precisely the father that Jesus named there in that prayer of the Lord, our Father who art in heaven. Now you have to ask, in which way? The monad has to come out in order to acquire development, in order to acquire knowledge. You see, each of us in the depth is a monad. But within the bosom of the Father, the cosmic Father, which is the Absolute, we are unknowable. We don't know our own capacities, our own capabilities. That's why the monads come out of the Absolute into the universe in order to develop, in order to know about themselves. Man, know thyself, and you will know the universe and the gods, states in the porch of the temple of Delphi or Delphi. So here you have to understand that when we as spirits emerged from the Absolute, we were like sparks of light without knowledge. As we, when you come here, you receive this doctrine. You're seated there, listening about this, trying to understand, trying to comprehend. And you know that you had to read, you had to study, you had to listen, you had to meditate, in order to little by little understanding what we are explaining or in relation with the spirit. Because we are talking about abstract aspects of ourselves, not physical. Something that is beyond the physical body. In the same way, when the spirit emerges from the bosom of the Father, the cosmic common Father, which is not a person, but the space itself, abstract space, they appear in the universe in order to learn. But in order to learn, you need a teacher. You need somebody to guide you. are here. For instance, if you want to receive or to study any career, you go to the university, you sit in a chair in a classroom. Obviously, sooner or later, the teacher has to come. Because if the teacher doesn't come, it's a chaos. Same thing is in the universe. Our own particular spirit needs to learn. We need a teacher. And of course, only Jupiter, only the cosmos creators can teach, because they already passed that. And that's why when you enter into the solar system or any universe, a cosmos creator takes you, adopts you, in order to teach you about the universe and nature, because they already know about that, they were self-realized. This is precisely what you understand about gods or our angels. They are individuals that were like us in the past, but that they reached that level and now they can teach us. But in order to teach us, we have to open our spiritual forces, because they teach the spirit. They don't teach the physical body, because the physical body is only the vehicle, the physical vehicle in the very bottom of the being. The being is the one that has to learn. And he learns by developing consciousness, by developing soul, by creating soul. And this is very important to know, because this is precisely what we discover when we are in contact with Jupiter, or in other words, with our Father who is in heaven. These cosmos creators impregnated our own particular monad with a spark of light in order to teach to that spark of light what they know. That spark of light is what the Bible calls the Ruach Elohim. In the beginning, I said to you that Elohim is one thing and Ruach Elohim is another. So in the Bible, this Jupiter, which is written in mythology, is called Elohim. Simple like that. But the Bible don't call it Jupiter, because the Bible is not written in Greek or in Latin. The Bible is written in Hebrew. And the Hebrew word for this that I'm explaining here is Elohim, which means gods and goddesses. Because Elohim is a feminine word, Eloah, which is goddess in Hebrew, with the ending of I-M, which is plural, masculine. So the word Elohim is translated in the Bible as God, singular, and male, Zron. This Elohim is not male, it's male-female. And it's not one, it's plural. So the translation, the right translation of Elohim in the Hebrew language is gods and goddesses. And this is precisely the cosmos creators that we are talking here. It says, in the beginning, the Elohim created the heaven and the earth. But the earth was empty and without form. Meaning that it needs something, an element, for these cosmos creators to influence matter in order for matter to have intelligence and to develop. That intelligence that the Elohim, or Jupiter, in other words, sent into the matter is called Ruach Elohim, Spirit of God. You see, it's the Spirit of God. It means the spirit and innermost spirit that enters. And that is our being. Now, this innermost is symbolized in the sign of Pisces as Neptune or Poseidon. I'm not saying that Neptune or Poseidon doesn't exist. He exists. He's a cosmic creator. But every single element in the cosmos has his part in us. Remember that it's written that the human being is the microcosm of the macrocosm. So we have that in sight. And that part is called Neptune, related with the pineal gland, our own particular innermost, our own particular spirit. That spirit, that innermost, is represented in the Tree of Life by Chesed. Chesed is the Son of God. Here you find the beautiful doctrine of Jesus that says, the Son of God. Who is this Son of God? The Son of God is Chesed, the innermost, the Spirit, that emanated from the Father who is in heaven, that is represented by Keter, Chokmah, Binah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What in Hinduism called Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Many religions represent this Trinity in different ways. Because this Trinity is related with Jupiter, which divides in two, in Binah, in order to engender Chesed. In other words, in all mythology you find that the cosmos creators divide in two, male-female, the duality, because these gods, Elohim, are dual, masculine and feminine at the same time. But in order to create, in order to project themselves into the matter, they divide in two, male-female. This is what in Kabbalah is called Abba and Aima. Or what Moses wrote, honor father and mother, related with the inner self inside that divide in two. And when they divide in two and they unite, they create Chesed, the innermost, the spirit. This is how we descend from heaven. So when you go inside yourself and you said, my Father, my God, you are talking to your innermost, your spirit. But you have to understand and comprehend that that spirit which is within you, because each one of us has his own particular innermost, as some particular spirit. Each one of those spirits is the sun, spark of Jupiter, spark of Elohim. This is stated that there are seven rays of creation that organize all the monads, all the elements in nature and humanity. So when you said, our Father who art in heaven, you are, of course, pointing here and up. This innermost, this spark of light that was engendered by Jupiter in every monad, has to develop two souls in order to acquire the knowledge that Jupiter has, that the Elohim have already. And that's why we are sent to the matter. The cosmic knowledge related with the Neptunian Amentinian civilization, related with beyond the three-dimensional world, is related with a spiritual soul, which is called in the Tree of Life, Geburah. The spiritual soul is symbolized in many religions and many philosophies and schools in different ways. For instance, Solomon called the feminine soul, the spiritual soul, the beautiful Sulamit, or Shulamit. It's written there in the Song of Songs in the Bible about it. In the Arthurian legend, this feminine soul is called Guinevere. It's a symbol of the feminine soul. It's also called the Valkyria. This feminine soul is always united with the innermost. That divine spiritual soul is the divine consciousness, the divine knowledge that our own particular spirit has in relation with his Father who is in heaven. That's why in Greek mythology it's stated that Neptune only obey Jupiter. Many gods were trying to control Neptune, but Neptune always answered, "I only obey Jupiter," meaning that our own particular individual spirit only obeys the Father who is in heaven, because he is the son or part, brother of it. So our Ruach Elohim is our innermost, that is the son of the Elohim. To discover that by our own psyche, by our own spiritual sight, is beautiful. This is how you understand the meaning of Jonah when he's thrown in the waters of the ocean. And of course, the god of the sea is moving the forces, which is Neptune, but above is Jehovah, which is in relation with Jupiter, controlling the forces, the two forces, the spiritual forces. And everything is inside of us. The gourd of Noah, I mean the gourd of Jonah in the Bible, that gourd, that pumpkin, is in relation with Halloween. We talk about that very extensively in the lecture of Capricorn. Because within the head of our own pumpkin, the pumpkin or the gourd of Jonah in the Bible, which is the mind, we find, of course, all of those monsters and forces, negative forces, that we created. In this day and age, they relate Halloween sometimes with the mummies. Well, that has a positive aspect. If somebody have a mummy, somebody has a mummy, has something related with those forces of Neptune. But in synthesis, we have to understand that the innermost, the Ruach Elohim, that is within the waters, as you see, symbol of Neptune, has always in his hand two fish, two souls, one divine and the other human. The human is that soul that descends. That human soul is what Jesus of Nazareth called the Son of Man. You see, there are two different things here. The Son of God is Chesed, the innermost. But the Son of Man is Tifereth, the human soul. That human soul that has to work, has to develop, we have to create. And that's the mission of the Spirit sent by the gods into the earth. To develop, or as we say, to evolve in nature, in order to acquire power. Of course, we know that we are part of the human soul. Because part of that human soul that is in the hands of Neptune, that is in the hands of the innermost, descend into the matter. And that part of that human soul that embryo of soul is like the one that we call consciousness, that we call soul, essence. And it's that soul that is inside your body right now, sitting here or listening this lecture through the internet and trying to comprehend their own origin. That embryo of soul is what in the Bible call Israel. The children of Israel are 12, related with the 12 zodiacal signs. They are sent from above into the physical plane in order to create, in order to develop, in order to work. So the children of Israel are all of humanity, because each one of us is born under any zodiacal sign, 12 signs. But of course, the most elevated among the 12 signs is the sign of Leo, because Leo is the house of the sun, S-U-N. It's the house of the Ein Sof Or, through which the cosmos creators work, and every tribe of Israel. Of course, all these tribes, 12, are in Egypt. Egypt is a physical world. Here we have to build the pyramids. The pyramid is a symbol of the mind. When somebody creates a pyramid, it's off because it's ready for the Exodus. It's a work that we had to perform inside, not outside, because everything is symbolic. So then, this embryo of soul is the soul, the consciousness that evolves from the mineral, plant, animal, and human kingdom in order to acquire humane level, human level. But for that we have to connect ourselves with our innermost in order to do the work. Because remember that this Ruach Elohim, according to the Bible, is the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. Let the water divide the water from the superior to the inferior waters. And that was good. So there are many levels in which this spirit, or Ruach Elohim, that is sent from above into the waters to develop. It is written in the book of Genesis, the steps to acquire that, which is alchemy. And of course, those that acquire the self-realization, that acquire, that perform the goal that we want, we have to do it, because each one of us has to do it, they are called the children of Judah. Or lion's calf. Whelm is also the word, right? Lion's whelm. Whelb. The little lion. How do you call the little lion? In the Bible, his name like whelm or whelb, I guess. Lion's calf. Cab. Lion cab. A lion cab, of course, you know, the little lion, is the son of the big lion. That big lion is Leo, is Jupiter. And the little lion is the child of God, somebody that self-realized, that is a vehicle of that light, of that fire. The Bible called these lion cubs Jews, because Judah is that tribe related with the constellation of Leo. So when the Bible says the children of Judah are pointing at the initiates that already self-realized, that have the lion, the fire, incarnated. Those are the Jews written. That's why the book of Revelation says, you have seen those that say they are Jews and are not, because they lie. Meaning that in order to become a real Jew or a children of Judah, you have to be, to have the Christ incarnated. This is represented in Hercules, represented in Moses, represented in Buddha, represented in Zoroaster, represented in Jesus. Those are lion's cubs, or bodhisattvas, as we say in Sanskrit. That's why Jesus, in the Gospel of John, states, salvation comes from the Jews. It doesn't mean that in order to be saved, you have to go to Israel, the Middle East, and to worship the Jews or the Middle East. No. The Jews, in this case, represent the Christified ones. Those that self-realize. Because through them is channeled the force of Christ. Of course, in the past, many acquired that level of children of Judah, a Jew, or we would say a bodhisattva, vehicle of Elohim. Moses reached that level. Abraham reached that level. Isaac reached that level. Jacob reached that level. Jesus as well. Krishna. Buddha Gautama Sakyamuni. Lao Tse. Quetzalcoatl. Mohammed. All of them are great children, Jews, bodhisattvas, that reach that level. Their innermost, the Son of God, developed completely the forces of the Elohim, or the forces of Jupiter. That's why Jupiter is called the father of all gods. But if you understand it in this way, and of course, Neptune helps. And that's why if you read the Odyssey of Homer, you find there the way in which Neptune put the ordeals of the initiation to Odysseus. That is called also Ulysses. In order to become a hero. But Neptune is the one because Neptune works through the waters. That's the initiation. It is the same with Jonah. Jonah was 9 days. 9 days were, right? Within the belly of the whale. 3 days. Yeah, 3 days. The thing is that in those 3 days, he uttered a prayer that has 9 aspects related with the 9 sphere. He utters a prayer inside the whale, and the whale vomited Jonah. But that is symbol that you had to perform, because we had to be swallowed by the whale. That whale represents the physical world, represents the planet Earth. It has many symbols. That whale is also the same Ark of Noah. And that's why in the other lecture we stated that water is related with the letter Mem, 40. And Pisces, of course, is in relation with water, it's a sign of water, within which the fish is swimming. In this case, physically speaking, we have to state, if you want to perform the great work, you need 2 fish. One is called sperm, and spermatozoid, and the other is called ovum, because one is feminine and the other is masculine. And this is how the Ruach Elohim works in the waters of sexuality, in order to create life in the physical world. As below, so above. If you want to create life internally, you have to know how to utilize the ovum and the sperm in alchemy. But your innermost, your spirit, is the one that does it. That's why the great initiations and degrees are always related with your own particular spirit. That's why you have to remember your God, you have to remember your being, to be aware and to remember yourself inside of your body. When you remember yourself inside of your body, anything that you do and move your body here and there, and you remember that you are inside the body, and that the body is only a vehicle, you are acting there with the pineal gland. When you remember yourself second after second, the pineal gland starts to spin. Or we will say, not the pineal, but the chakra related with the pineal gland, which is the chakra Sahasrara, what in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, call the church of Laodicea, which is the door that opens heaven. You see there, you read in the book of Revelation, Laodicea, which is the church related with the pineal gland, it says, there is an open door for you. That open door is opened by Neptune. And then you enter in the Neptunian mysteries, which is very profound. And then you study the mysteries of the Sphinx. And this is precisely what is Gnosticism. When this door here is open, then you start studying the true Gnosticism. Because right now you are just listening to this lecture through your ears. Or you can read many books of Gnosticism. But if you want to be an initiate and to learn really what Gnosis is in reality, you have to open the chakra Sahasrara. And then the doors of Neptune will open for you, and you will enter into the mysteries of Egypt. And then you will understand all the mysteries that we're explaining here. That's the true knowledge, the true Gnostic. And then you understand many things. Because all the phenomena, spiritual things that we speak here, happened when you develop the pineal gland little by little. And that is the mystery of Pisces, how the Spirit of God, the Ruach Elohim, controls nature with the two consciousness, the two souls. One is spiritual and the other human. The spiritual is represented, as I said, in many ways. Like, for instance, in the story of David, the king of Israel, is represented by Bathsheba, which means the daughter of the seven. Of course, the seven in this case are the seven cosmo-creators, which are above. And that is spiritual soul, is the inheritance of the seven. So the innermost has to be together. When somebody reaches the first initiation of major mysteries, that cosmic knowledge unites with your spirit, and you are being born again in the internal planes. That is to be born again. That's the beginning of it. So, do you have questions? The previous age that finished, 1962, unfortunately, as you see, this knowledge, this type of spiritual doctrine, is completely abstract. You cannot see that with the physical sight. You can only read or hear about it. But the only way is by putting in activity the fish, which is related with the sexual force. That's why I said in the beginning, where Jesus started Christianity, he was teaching alchemy, the way in which you had to manage the two fish. Unfortunately, there were certain subjects at that time that betray Gnosis. After not only they killed Jesus, but betray, and Gnosis was not delivered in the right way. And since that time, they were preaching celibacy, which is, of course, contrary to nature. And without teaching even how to transmute the sexual energy as a single person. So therefore, Gnosticism died in the beginning. Because Gnosticism, the real Gnosis, is based in the transmutation of the water into wine. That's why that was the first miracle that Jesus performed in the Gospels. The transmutation of water into wine in the weddings of Cana. Because the whole work that we have to perform is between man and woman in the holy matrimony. A single person cannot do it. Can advance a certain level. But beyond that, he needs a partner. In this physical world, you want a child, you need a woman. If you're a woman, you need a man. Same thing internally. You know how to know how to transmute the water into wine. Unfortunately, those people in the beginning of Pisces betray Gnosis, and then Gnosis entered into an obscurantism, in which instead of teaching the real doctrine, they were preaching the agnosticism, and the doors of the internal worlds were closed. Because without the holy alchemy, without Gnosticism, nobody can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Still, people in this day and age think that in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, the superior dimensions, the Neptunian, Amentian forces, just by believing. Nobody is being born by believing. So that's unfortunately. Now we are in the Aquarian age, and that era of Pisces finishes. Now we are entering again into the mysteries of Aquarius, which were explained in the previous lecture. Yes? It happened because, as you know, as we explain it here, the mysteries of Yesod related with the Neptunian forces are also related with the moon. But the moon is related with races. Lunar religions are related with races that only developed for certain privileged people. That's why in the past, those that wanted to have this type of knowledge that we are publicly teaching now, how to be first a king, a prince, or a queen, or a member of certain college of initiates. At that time, in the time of Jesus, this knowledge was known among the Jews and among other groups, but only in groups, in families. Jesus came in order to make this knowledge universal, in order to teach this to all the souls, not specifically for certain races. But the Jews didn't like that. When I said the Jews, I'm talking about those initiates at that time. Not all the Jews. Because in this physical world, there is a country called Israel with people that call Jews, Jewish people, but they are not all of them initiates. What? I mean, this was people that were selected in order to teach this, what we are teaching here. But when Jesus came, in order to say this is the time now, in order to give this knowledge to all humanity, to all the Gentiles, they didn't like it. So therefore, they betray Gnosis. And then Gnosis developed, or we'll say Christianity developed in other ways. In the agnostic way. If all of those initiates at that time of Jesus would obey the order of the White Lodge, now we will have something different. But unfortunately, still, they deny that Jesus was the Messiah or the messenger
of above. Another question?
If certain ones become cosmo creators, what happens to the other ones?
Which other ones?
The ones that don't become cosmo creators.
But they are not cosmo creators. In order to become cosmo creator, you have to self-realize yourself. If you don't care about this knowledge, if you really want to live life as my body and everybody, so you won't succeed the goal. Obviously, that's called the self-realization. Most of people that do not self-realize, they sink into the abyss because there is 108 opportunities in order for us to acquire self-realization. If we don't like it, if we don't want it, because everybody has free will and we respect the free will, so therefore, then you follow the mechanicity of nature, you sank into the abyss, called inferno, hell, whatever, for nature, which is just, we will say, the recycling aspect of nature in which the soul is purified by the forces of nature. That is what follows those that do not become cosmocreators. But really, it's not that you will become cosmocreator in one life. There are many monads that are on the path, and they take many lives, but they continue in every life going up and up and up. And for that, you have to take the direct path. You have to study this doctrine in order to understand. So what is your question?
What are some ways to open or develop the pineal gland?
The best way is to remember yourself. To remember always that you are inside the body. Always seeing what is going around you, but without forgetting that you are inside your body. That effort to remember that you are inside your body active the pineal gland. Also, you can practice a mantra in order to put in activity that. Simple, the sound of the letter E. E, and send the sound to the pineal gland. That sound helps to activate the chakra of the pineal gland. Yes? No. The higher rank or the higher family of cosmo creators are seven. Because there is a law in the universe. The law of the Eptaparaparshinok, the law of seven that organizes. That's why you find 7 days of Genesis and you find the number seven in the Bible many times. Because it's the law that organizes 7 days of the week, seven chakras, seven churches, seven dimensions. That's why there are seven cosmocreators that control this law of seven. But cosmocreators in this solar system are many. After these seven are other five that form 12, related with the 12 apostles of Christ. And after these 12 comes 24, 48. So there are many cosmocreators. Neptune is a cosmo creator. Uranus is another cosmo creator. Pluto. But they are ruled in different ways. They control other forces. But the main ones are seven. That's why I always talk about seven rays. All the planets, for instance, here, we're talking about Pisces. The Pisces people that are ruled by Neptune, they have to align to any of the seven rays. Because only seven rays organize. But they might be related to other forces. So cosmocreators are many. And not all of them are ruled or are controlling planets. There are cosmocreators that are related with cosmocreation that travel in space, like comets, in order to teach different type of cosmocreators. Another question?
You said Atl means water by the Nahuas. Nahuatl is the language of the Nahuas. The question is then, what does Nahua mean?
No, I said Watan, is the language of the Atlanteans. And Nahuatl, yeah, the language of the Nahuatls. Atl means water. There are many words. Anahuac means a house that emerged from the waters. That's all their meanings, but that's what the meaning that I know, that Anahuac in that language means a land that emerges. Obviously, this kingdom of Anahuac emerged after the sinking of Atlantis. Yes?
In Genesis, it talks about separating the superior waters from the inferior waters. Mm-hmm.
To separate the superior with the inferior waters, of course, is a work in Yesod, in which the animal forces that work through the waters in a level, which are passional. That's why it is written also that in order to go to the other side, you see, the Neptunian Amentian forces, which are the works of Yesod, Eden, you have to pass through the Red Sea. That passing through the Red Sea are precisely the dividing of the waters. You see there? The waters are divided.
The same as in Buddhism.
Meaning that you have to pass the other side of the river. That's why the word Hebrew. Hebrew means the one that is from the other side. You see? Meaning that first you have to leave your passional waters related with lust. Well, in this case, for instance, humanity is already in a big deluge of degeneration, sexual degeneration. They swim in polluted waters. You see, everywhere is. So you had to leave those waters, to divide the waters, you had to leave that, and to go into the other side, which is superior part of the moon, Neptune. The superior waters. That's why when the Egyptians, which in this case symbolize those passionate people that like fornication, adultery, and all of that in sex, try to go to the other side, they know the knowledge and say, okay, we will try. But they are trying to do it with passion. And then the waters swallow them, kill them. Only those that were working in chastity are guided by Moses. And Moses symbolizes willpower that we had to develop in order to control the Red Sea, the passionate waters, the bloody waters. Everything is a symbol. Do you have another question? Thank you very much. This is the end of the cycle of astrology. And The next series of lectures will be announced in the forum. And next Saturday is canceled in order for our throat to rest a little bit. That's 1 week. And then eventually we will start again. We advise all the people that didn't hear the previous lectures, 11, to go into the Gnostic Radio. There you will find the rest that will give you a lot of knowledge in order to go ahead in this doctrine and this Gnosticism. Thank you very much.
Gnostic Radio is made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. To make a tax-deductible donation, visit our website at GnosticTeachings.org. For questions about this or other lectures, we invite you to participate in the free discussion forum at GnosticTeachings.org. Thank you for your support. May all beings be happy.